All right, welcome back into See Ball, Get Ball. I'm your host, David Pollack. Brent Rollins, as always, freshly shaving. Brent, I guess the hat, you decided to get rid of the hat from yesterday or the other day, so that's good.
Yes, back with the bald dome, and funny story about that. So I had to go back home to West Virginia last weekend. Unfortunately, my aunt passed away. Rest in peace, Aunt Nancy. But I see a lot of my family that I don't get to see very often, and especially my dad's side of the family. And of course, family is the one who will rib you and will
poke be honest, you, you
will be honest and make fun of you, basically. So at least three different people that I saw, as soon as they saw me, hey, it's Joe Rogan.
I mean, there could be worse.
I was like, hey, I'll take that comparison.
Well, you I'll take his bank account. That's for dang sure. And I tell you what, I wish I was your co-host in Joe Rogan's podcast, because that dude, I don't like the F-bombs. Love that the language, but interesting character though. I mean, just inquisitive. He's a cool character. It's a fun podcast to listen to just because he brings on interesting people from different backgrounds. And
yeah,
but you saw the
election. Hey, my family knows me as the bald guy on the podcast like Joe Rogan. So
bald guy on the podcast like Joe Rogan. All right. So first topic, Brent. Colorado making some interesting decisions that are in the news. We've seen Dion made headlines throughout his tenure there at Colorado. Yeah. He's brought Colorado to relevance. Like, we've talked about that a bunch, man. Like, all the eyeballs, the superstars on the sidelines. Like, there's a lot of good things that have happened at Colorado. And with Dion there, you expect more to come. Recruiting has been up. The brand is up. The money making is up. Enrollment is up. Everything about it has been good. He made some news about some jerseys being retired. And I'm curious to hear your take on this, Mr. Brent Rollins.
I mean, I'm kind of a whatever. It does seem very quick, but it also seems like it made me think back to the what was the show? Al Bundy. Married with Children.
Married with Children. Love and marriage.
You can't have one without the other. Like Travis Hunter and Shador Sanders. You can't do one without the other, because I think they almost, it's like a tandem. Like, you couldn't just do Hunter in a way. You got to do
why?
Both of their numbers. But I disagree. I think if you're going to go one, it should have been the guy that won the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, this isn't like a sandwich where it's got to be peanut butter and jelly, homie. Like,
I agree, but it seems like that's the decision that they made, is that it's both of those guys. It's the tandem of the two versus highlighting one individual.
I love Dion. I'm a Dion fan. I love the way he talks about his faith. Like, this isn't criticizing Dion. I don't understand this at all. I'm going to throw some names out to you, Brent. Joe Burrow, not retired.
Yeah.
Tim Tebow, not retired. Cam Newton, not retired. Jameis Winston, not retired. Marcus Mariota, not retired. I could go on and on and on. Not retired.
Cam Newton's the great example there, because it's a one-year thing.
I mean, not retired. Shador is 13-12 at Colorado. Like, that's his record. It's 13-12. And, I mean, he wasn't an All-American at any years. And I don't get it. I don't understand it. I think Shador's a really good player. I'm not diminishing him, and I'm not making fun of anyone. I'm just saying, like, it doesn't make any sense. There's not another guy in the country that's jersey's retired in a scenario like this, because he was a really good player. He was a good player for his team. He was a good player for Colorado. But he's not even going to be in the, like, College Football Hall of Fame. He wasn't even an All-American, but we're going to retire his jersey. I don't get it. I don't understand it. The Travis Hunter thing, like, I could have an intelligent conversation back and forth. And you could persuade – he's a unicorn. Like, he's an absolute unicorn. He did something that no one's done, like, in a long time. But did it at a level where he's playing a ton of snaps. He's not just sprinkled in like Champ Bailey, like Rod Woodson. Like, this dude played both sides of the ball. Like, pretty crazy, pretty unique. Won a Heisman Trophy at Colorado. Like, going to be a high pick in the draft. Understand, like, All-American, all everything. I get that. It's an only a 2-year run. Like, I could get down with that and maybe make a case for that, but I've got nothing for Shador. I don't understand that, except for you, like you said, you just wanted to have both. But
yeah,
you know, it's just Shador's not worthy of that. And I don't mean that insulting. It's just what he did on the field. You're talking about, when you talk about retired numbers, you're talking about like the best of the best to do it. And here's the thing. I like Colorado being different with the, you know, the D on there, you know, for captains and stuff like that, like being different and being an L for a leader. I like that. Well, I would love for them to, why don't we just adopt like 7 at LSU? That number's special, you know, 11 at Penn State, special, yeah. 38 at Ole Miss, Chucky Mullins, special, yeah. Like, just make Travis Hunter or make Shador Sanders' number extremely special. It's a privilege to wear it, but retiring the jersey to me doesn't, it seems strange to me. It doesn't, I don't understand it.
So we have a mutual friend and phenomenally in shape dude that's in the workout group that happened to play football at Colorado. That'd be Mr. Scott Weeking. Shout out to Scott. I asked him about this. He's like, what his thoughts were. He's like, well, okay, let's retire. If we're going to retire a number, let's retire a coach's jersey, because like this is as much a Deion thing as it is that thing. And especially like I've seen some of the pro guys that have made comments on this, and they reference back to Deion Figures, who was a big time baller on the national championship like team that, you know, won a Thorpe Award, that kind of stuff. He wore number 2 as well. All these other things. And
Wardell Stewart.
Yes. Like so many great names that, you know, yeah. But anyway, it's definitely, it's different. It's not, I will say I wasn't shocked. It wasn't like I was shocked when I saw that news headline in a way. But
I mean, I was pretty shocked. I thought it was I checked real quick to see if it was April Fool's. I was like, because my life right now was a mess anyways. I'm like, is it April Fool's? Like,
you could be easily fooled.
Yeah. I was definitely shocked and surprised, but.
Speaking of, by the way, shocked and surprised earlier, not too long ago today, I guess now news breaking guy, Colin Cowherd.
California guy. He's a California guy.
Very, and dialed in, especially dialed into the college world, loves college football.
Yep.
Tweeted out, I am told moments ago, Nico Iamaleava is going to UCLA. Family still claims it's not about the money. It's about the Vol football offense. I was not told, not told what the Bruins are paying.
Well, good, because if it's about the money, you lost. You definitely lost. And I think everybody in the world knows that. So I think that in the end, this was about the money. This was not about anything else. It was about Nico's people overplaying his hand. Like, that's what he did. I mean, he tried to get more out of probably than he should have. And because of that, Tennessee made a tough decision that nobody thought that they would probably make. And I mentioned UCLA the other day because of the California connection. I thought that was interesting. And also there was a lady, I don't have her name written down. The new director for
it was his high school, something.
Yeah, Sarah. Her name was Sarah or Stacy Ford. Stacy Ford. She's running the program's player personnel, and you wondered about the connection. But also, honestly, I just wonder about options, Brent. I wonder how many options Nico had to go join squads, because we started to see people say like, hey, not interested. And, you know, that's what you did. You said like other people are interested, we're worth this, and it wasn't worth this. And now Nico's and listen, if you watch UCLA's offense the last several years, there ain't nothing really fun to compliment. I mean,
I can't even remember. There's very few players I can actually even,
I mean,
recall names.
I have not watched UCLA guys and gone, man, that's a great offensive system by any stretch of the imagination. So I find that hard to believe that that's the factor. But, you know, it is bigger than money all the time. But this situation, it seemed to be about the money. And it seemed to be that it was a big swing and a miss for their crew. And they're going to have to deal with the fallout. And listen, the other day I said, you know, like, I hope he goes to Georgia Southern. And that's not a slight at Georgia Southern. I'm not taking a shot at Georgia Southern. I'm just saying.
People got mad at you, by the way.
I know they did. But I was just hoping, like, he went somewhere where, like, you don't get the fame. You don't get the glory. You don't get more money. Like, that's what I was saying, because it wasn't a shot. It was just that, you know, you kind of deserved this. You know, you did this to yourself. This was a self-inflicted wound. This wasn't I was a casualty. This was forced and over and over and over. And listen, we've heard rumblings out of Tennessee since he's been there. I mean, this is not new. And so,
And when you say self, it's like a camp thing. It's not necessarily, I mean, and the kid is complicit in that, but also I'm sure there's an element of it where it's like the dad, if the dad is like, hey, son, trust me. Like if your dad says that, if like, if you told Nicholas, trust me, Nicholas, this is what we got to do. Like, I don't know. But anyway,
it's got nothing to do with Nico. It's exactly what Carson Rollins would do. Cameron Rollins would do. Nicholas would do exactly what I did back in the day with my dad. I'm like, dad, you tell me. Yeah. You know, like what do I need? I'm getting recruited by all these schools. I'm asking my dad, I'm like, what do you see? What do you, I don't know. Like I'm a young impressionable kid. The worst thing my dad made me do, by the way, that I wanted to slap him, was after I made my decision to where I was going to school, he was like, you're going to sit down and you're going to call all the coaches that recruited you. I was like, what? Why? What? I can't just text him or like you call him. He's like, no, you're going to recruit them. You're going to tell them all. They invested a lot of time and hours and committed their lives to you and got into your personal life, came to your school. Like, you're going to call them all. And I was pissed. I hated every second of that, but he was absolutely right. But you're going to trust your parents.
Great job, Norm.
Norm's a stud. That's for sure.
So what's this? All right. I want to quickly run through some of the questions that I had before. And by the way, I don't know that this has been confirmed in the time that we're looking through this, but, and maybe it is, and maybe it's truth. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just something that he heard. But looking at this independent of maybe the UCLA, who had the most money to pay Nico? Because I think the answer to that is where he was. Like, when you look around and you see quickly that people were going to wait and let the market come down, who had the most money to pay him? That would be Tennessee versus that. And
I would argue, I might argue Texas Tech, because it seems like they have an unlimited budget right now. So
very, very good point. Very good point. I do wonder if there was an element of, you know, we had talked about this the other day, coaches kind of like wink, wink, looking at each other. Hey, let's take a stand. And UCLA being like, if that is the case and that's where he definitively ends up, okay, we got no, you know, this is our best option kind of thing. But also, so this is something that I've thought about in the last couple of days. If I were in his camp or he said, hey, what would you do? I would have looked at this as a 2-year process. I don't know that I would look at this. Now, could he go to UCLA and just absolutely ball out, show all the traits, go to the draft, and somebody pick him? Yeah, but even I don't know that it's going to be high unless the play is so far off, you know, in a
– It would have to tick up at a high level.
It would have to go to like astronomically, you know, exponentially more so than what we've seen so far. I would have looked at it as a 2-year process and gone somewhere, by the way, which to me would have opened up going into an SEC school. And look, even if I got to go sit for a year and learn an offense and go into a true pro style offense, if offense is a thing, which by the way,
I would lost your mind, bro. That ain't nobody waiting a year. Nobody has the patience to jump anywhere right now or sit anywhere. Like everybody that comes in, but dude, you're right. Nico was making over $2 million. $2 million. Like Tennessee rolled out the red carpet and paid, like to literally do this was such a slap in the face. And I bet Tennessee was like, dude, we paid you all this money and you weren't that good. Like, you didn't play to the level in which we paid you. And now you're trying to hold our feet to the fire? Like, they probably were like, all right, it's not a bad idea to get rid of you. I mean, that, honestly, they were probably pretty excited about it.
And the way I'm looking at it is that more of the short-term sacrifice for the long-term game. Because in the world, especially in the quarterback world, by the way, in the way the NFL exists now, this isn't about the maybe $10 million that you make as a college quarterback. This is, if you really think you have that level of talent, look at Kirk Cousins' career earnings. It's like $350 million. Like, compared to what he made in the NIL. This is about the long-term game for me if I'm looking at it from a quarterback perspective, which is why, by the way, I could see Arch Manning saying, hey, look, I need to just keep getting better. Even if I have a good year at Texas, I'm going to come back and play again because it's just going to help me get better in the long run. I don't know, but that's why I say that.
Well, and that's why people don't get that, like, everybody, a lot of people have always screamed for the players. Players, 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 protect the players. This system doesn't protect the players. Like, yes, it allows them to make more money, but here's what it does. It allows them to make money at a younger age, to be more mature, to go rest on their laurels and not pursue what they would have pursued. The NFL is where you make the money, Brent. Like, NFL is life-changing, generational. Type wealth you just mentioned with Kirk Cousins. That's how you change your lineage for years and years to come. You're just getting a little taste. Like, you're making – listen, it's a good taste. Don't get me wrong. Now, Nico's an exception. Like, Nico's making – he's a millionaire already. Yeah. But, like, you've got a bunch of these people that are making a couple hundred thousand dollars, and it's like, I made it. And I told you, I've watched tape from guys from freshman year that they balled out, they played hard, they got their money, and I'm like, that's different. Like, his level of give-a-dang is different. And here's the thing. If that's the case, you just cost yourself – hundreds of millions of dollars, or $20 million, $30 million for a little small taste. That's why all this needs to be legislated. It needs to be ran correctly because you aren't protecting the players. It needs to go into trust at some point for these guys. Like, put some of this money away because we're all stupid at 18, at 19, at 20. We're just not very bright. Okay. Like, I have a son that's 16. I'm like, you're so stupid. Like, what are you talking about? And he's pretty mature for a 16-year-old, but like,
yes.
We're just dumb. You're just dumb boys at this age. And so, you know, we're not protecting the student athlete like everybody thinks we are.
And especially in kind of as we transition into what opened today, and that is the transfer portal officially opening today, runs through next Friday, the 25th. The way the portal and way all this works, it's different for different players. If you have the talent to potentially be that $100 million quarterback in the future, this is a small fraction. And staying and developing and playing the long game is likely in your best interest versus where you see a lot of guys in the portal, at least in this time frame, where it's like, hey, I got beat out. I'm not going to play here. I need to go somewhere else. Or I've had maybe there's coaching change. Like, I saw West Virginia's got like over 30 guys in the portal and it didn't work out. The coach says, hey, look, it's not going to work out here. That sort of thing. I got to go find another place to play. Some of those guys, it is about maximizing the earning power while you're in college.
Cause you're not going to get the next level.
But for somebody as talented as Nico, that's not what it was. This was a long, and he didn't play the long game well. And by the way, he might look at us in 10 years and be great and, you know, give the birds to everybody and be like,
he didn't play. It wasn't him anyways. His camp messed this up because again, they already committed $2 million to him. Like $2 million lottery ticket. You try to go double it and then you end up with nothing. Like that's a tough break, man. That's a bad beat Van Pelt segment right there.
Yes. So speaking of this portal window, which we've long said, and we will continue to say there should just be one, but there is this one still. What do you look at? Like, what do you see? What would say, ooh, that was different. That kind of shocked me. Is there anything like right now, by the way, Tennessee potentially, like if somebody that's a starting quarterback at another school puts his name in the portal, do not contact tag, that might be interesting. But for the most part, it's younger guys. Like I see a lot of, I've seen three young guys that were high recruits from Miami. Zaquan Patterson, the safety, Nykar, the receiver, and then the Rudolph kid, the defensive lineman that were, you know, very highly recruited, played a little bit as a freshman and are now putting their name in the portal after spring practice. So did they get beat out? Has someone said, hey, you can come play here? I don't know, but they actually got some snaps, but that's one sort of segment that is portaling now.
And everything and every situation, just like you talked about with Nico, will be different. Who's running the situation? Right. Like who's the point man? Who's giving him the information? And that's where I think having a CBA, having people in place that are helping you with all of these decisions and helping the players and making it one window and not making it two, making tampering charges a legit thing. Like if somebody's here's the problem, Brent. Anybody can get in these kids' ear. And they're getting a hold of them, and they're sending them text messages, and they're hitting them up on social media, like, hey, we can get you this. We can get you this. Well, when it comes time, sometimes it don't work like that. Like, it's talk. It's trying to get you, you know, to the door. But, you know, I'm always interested. I'm interested. So I'll put it in different tiers. Like, how about those people that they're also like, you know, they're at a lower level, you know, and they've done a great job developing their skills and getting better. And like the tackle from South Dakota, Joe Cotton, like in the portal.
Like, well, the running back from North Dakota State, the Brown
running back from North Dakota State,
top FCS freshman.
Those are guys to me, like those are guys that out of high school weren't highly recruited. What did they have to do, Brent? Go face some resilience, go face some adversity, and go freaking earn it. Like, I'm just telling you, if I'm going to get like guys, like if I'm going to use the transfer portal, to me, that's how I would use it the most. You can use it on guys that have done it and shown you professionalism, shown you what it's like. Here's the problem. Or you're betting on a coin flip again with these guys. Why didn't that talent work? Upper level, Jaden Rashada, highly recruited by multiple people, right? Like,
yes.
Looked at it like this. The talent supersedes it. It's me and you, Brent's fault. We're putting together lists, and we're starting to put these lists together, and then we go, but I can't put people ahead of him because of the talent, because they can do this X. So, like, how much does that become worth to you? So, like, it's like buying stocks that short, you know, and that go down, but you know it's a big-name company that, you know, like, AT&T is always coming back, right? Like it's always going to come back up. Apple's always going to come back up, right? Like those are the stocks that you buy and you think. So it's just different realms to look at it is how much of the investment sometimes for a really talented guy that hasn't found his stride, hasn't found his system. But the problem is now I got to take you and merge you with my guys regardless. And that's not easy.
Others, the Stanford receiver, Mosley kid, ended up at Texas. I think that's one that could actually pay dividends.
Which one was that? Actually,
Emmett Mosley, Stanford receiver. Another one that actually kind of shocked me because is the Syracuse wide receiver, the Pena kid, that put his name in the portal, who had almost 1,000 yards, 9 touchdowns a season ago. And so now Syracuse had 3 guys that had over 100 targets, him, Gadsden, and Jackson Meeks.
Gadsden was an animal too.
All 3 of them gone.
And their quarterback.
So Coach Brown has got some work to do. I thought some of the UNC guys, it's interesting to see there because of obviously with Belichick coming in and one of them, I think I saw one of the DBs that was a really high recruit last year, put his name in the portal. So it's Bill must have said, sorry, it's not working out here, or he didn't like the situation, who knows what.
Well, and that's one thing too to take into account, Brent. Like, some of these guys that are like have new coaches and they come in, it's a new system, and you're like, well, that doesn't fit me. Like that guy doesn't fit me. And that may not necessarily be like the Nico's situation where they're trying to make more money. It just might be like, dude, this is not a fit for me. I didn't sign on to this and I don't want to be here. New coaches coming in, your coach is leaving. Like those are things that, you know, play into kids' minds and, you know, and then there's the systems that play into their minds. Like, am I going to go play in that system and get highlighted? Like that's a lot of guys think that way, which is smart.
A lot of Cal guys putting in their name in the portal, including running back Jaden Ott, who, while last year didn't have as good of a year, and I can't remember if kind of injuries were an issue or as much as their team.
It was. Injuries were an issue.
A little bit. I thought so. But, like, the previous year, I think he had, like, 1,300 yards, and I think in his career he's right around 2,600 yards, like 25 touchdowns. He's now at Oklahoma. And Oklahoma brings us to the question of the day, which is what college football moment when you think of and you look at, we've kind of been doing this as we've gone through the off season, the college football moment that you think about when you see the Oklahoma Sooner logo, because there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
That when it comes to like a historic program, one of the, you know, winningest programs of all time, national championship type program.
Where'd you go?
For the good, I think for me, I thought instantly of Josh Heupel as quarterback and winning the national championship. But I also thought about the Roy Williams play in terms of
moment. Oh, the Superman.
the Roy Williams play against Texas, Chris Sims, right? Wasn't that against Chris Sims, the QB? That's the one that came into my mind instantly. Now, that's when looking at it from the Oklahoma perspective. Obviously, there's a lot of people that follow Georgia who follow you, and they instantly went to another
Rose Bowl
that you were there for. Yes, the Rose Bowl and Sony Michel, and you know,
Jake Fromm throwing yourself. A block from the Wildcat.
Yep,
hitting a field goal before the big field goal before the half. Like they were down. That was a great game. How is Adrian Peterson not mentioned when you talk about Oklahoma?
His picture was. I saw some people would post his picture, like that's one, and some of his runs were iconic type runs,
ungodly. Like yes. he was the closest thing to Herschel Walker that I saw as a freshman. I mean, just to like I remember I met AP, so I was a sophomore or junior in college, and he was at the All American stuff as a freshman, and I was there, and I was just like, that's a big son biatch. Like I was like, holy cow, like. Shake his hand. I was like, that's a grown man. And then you watch, what he was able to do. But golly, like I immediately think of quarterbacks palooza. And obviously over the last couple of years, and Jalen Hurts gets thrown in there. But I mean, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, like first, who was the number one overall pick? The big, tall.
Sam Bradford.
Like, I know he was banged up with the Rams and wherever he played, but like, again, tall guy, Josh Heupel, you name, like quarterback play. And then I think you could go all the way back
Jason White, that won the Heisman.
Jason White. Like, I mean, it's just the history of Oklahoma is pretty dang good, like pretty proud. And that's why being on that school, like two losing seasons in the last 3 years, like that's not good enough, man.
Well, I got some numbers on, that we're going to get to here in a minute. Some others, by the way, moments that people put, a lot of people put this one. Baker planting the flag,
Ohio State. I was there.
That was a moment.
I was there for me that. Also, that was fantastic. Even though it was field turf, you couldn't plant it. But
yeah, Coach Jim Donnan, offensive coordinator for Switzer in '85, running the
Jimmy
wishbone.
Jimmy D.
Some of the sort of in the other team looking at it from hating on the Oklahoma perspective, Boise State people were. Very much in on that, the Statue of Liberty stuff and that
proposing.
Game. Yep. All of that came out. For me personally, as a West Virginia fan, it's a game that West Virginia lost, but I'll still remember it for what happened with West Virginia. And that's the Tavon Austin game where he had like 350 running, almost 500 yards of total offense. But I think Oklahoma won like 50-48 or something like that. But
you would remember a loss for your team.
I just remember it. Because they had to play him at running back that game. He'd played receiver for the most part, played in running back.
That dude could play anywhere, couldn't he? Golly.
Yes. But looking ahead to – so, yes, lots of moments when it comes to – and, by the way, we are also – there's probably so many that are prior to us being
– Barry Switzer.
Born that were
– Yeah.
That were huge, or us being very small that were huge moments for that. But this year is, I think, huge year for Brent Venables, maybe doesn't even – justify it, because you now have a new offensive coordinator, Ben Arbuckle. You have a new quarterback in John Mateer, both from Washington State. You now have a new running back, portal season brings you Jaden Ott. And you had a new general manager, former C-ball get ball Jim Nagy. So it's kind of a big year. And those you mentioned the losing seasons recently. So I looked at this because I was curious. So they've had two of the last 3 years they've had losing seasons. Do you remember the last season under 500 prior to that?
It's got to be before it's got to be – golly. It's got to be at least 30 years.
It's almost that. 1998. Yeah. It's the year before Stoops, basically, with John Blake. It was the last time that they were under 500, and then obviously they've been under 500, 6-7, two of the 3 years. There with Venables. So from 1999 to 2021, so 23 years, 18 of those 23 years, they won at least 10 games. 18 of 23 years, 10 plus wins. So, and one of those, by the way, that they didn't was the COVID year. They were 9-2. So winning program and sort of history of winning comes with that. So ultimate question, is this a make or break year for Coach Venables?
Well, I mean, I think everybody knows that. And I think the problem is the schedule's not going to be fun. I mean, geez, I think this team could be really, 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 really improved, really good and win 8 games. I mean, I know that sounds bad, but they were 2-6 in SEC play last year. And I think the most discouraging part probably for Oklahoma fans, you don't mind losses, but losing to Texas by 31, yeah, not good. Like, that's not good. You lost to South Carolina by 26. You lost to LSU by 20. Like, those are beatdowns. Those are embarrassing moments. And I think, like, again, not all wins are created equal. Not all losses are created equal. And how does your team play consistently? Like, that's what you want to see. I think the defense is going to be really good. Brent Venables is going to call plays. Brent Venables is a stud. He's one of the best at it. I think the talent will be good. They'll be good. Offensively, it is impossible for them to go backwards. Absolutely impossible. There is
nowhere to go but up. Nowhere
I will bet my life savings, every freaking penny, that they're going to – I mean, their stats last year and their numbers offensively, you just stack them up and you just throw that poop on the wall. Like, that's what that was. It was awful. I mean, it was terrible. Like, there's nothing positive to say about that. They couldn't block. They couldn't run. They couldn't throw. They couldn't even keep receivers on the field. Like, there's nothing they did good. And so and the only thing you can say is Alabama game. The Alabama game, the offense all of a sudden looked like they were unbelievably elite and best of the best. But so I think, how does the offense turn around? Getting a proven commodity in an OC who has familiarity with a quarterback takes you from learning to hear, and it takes you to hear quickly. Like, I don't think – I can't understate how big that is. Like, coming in with your quarterback knowing the verbiage, knowing your checks, knowing what you want to do, your systems, bro, that is the best thing you could possibly have. Like, that's the spot that you need it the most. So it's not a guy coming in. All he has to do now is go, I need to learn my teammates. Yep. That's all he has to do. I need to know him. I need to know him. I need to get to know my offensive line. The offensive line taking a bunch of transfer guys. Like, they took their second Stanford guy, right? Like, today or last couple of days, they took a Western Carolina guy, you know, offensive tackle that's good. Like, their offensive line can't get worse, Brent. Like, blocking for the run, blocking for the pass, they weren't good. So, I mean, I think Oklahoma shoots up, like immediately shoots up and becomes exponentially more competitive. But the problem is the schedule, and I don't think they're going to be a team that wins 10 games and gets the college football playoff.
I don't either. But the point you made about the QB and then the OC combination, when you look at Mateer last year, 64% completion, 3,100 yards, 29 TDs, 7 picks, 82 overall PFF grade. That's one of those where I'm not going to make any comparisons, but Joe Burrow in that second year at LSU took that big leap with playmakers. Obviously, playmakers had a big deal to it, but it's as much of being there 1 year and then taking that sort of second year leap, adding in Joe Brady, things like that. So at least you've had 1 year. It's not like Mateer's coming and learning a new system. It's at least the system he knows. Maybe you get that leap exponentially, but the schedule that you just mentioned. Let's go through that. So first off, we get the Illinois State at home.
Dub.
Okay, I think that's a dub. And then we get the Wolverines on the 6th, September the 6th, which, by the way.
At Michigan, right?
No. Home.
Okay, well, that's better at least.
Yep, home.
Because they got to go at South Carolina.
Because I think it's home. I think it's in a – I don't think it's a neutral site. I think that is a game. Yeah. But
keep going Temple, down the left.
At Temple. Which, by the way, is a weird game for an Oklahoma program at Temple. So let's just say, hey, Michigan's working in a freshman quarterback.
Good time to get him.
Get him early.
Defensive scheme, mind. He makes it happen. They go 3-0.
You're 3-0. All right, you get Auburn at home.
They can beat Auburn.
By the way, who is likely playing your former quarterback? Jackson Arnold. All right, so say, hey, let's give him that dub. Then they get Kent State. Okay. Everything's 5-0. Rolling. 5-0, feeling great. Texas come in. Then you get Texas. Red River rivalry. At South Carolina, Ole Miss at home, at Tennessee, at Bama, Missouri at home, LSU at home. I mean, one, two, three, Do they go 4-4 in the SEC or better?
Well, last year they went 2-6, so that would be better. The problem is,
I think, like you said, I think they can be massively improved. All sorts of good vibes, and it's you get to 8-4, maybe 9-3.
The problem is, to me, is at South Carolina, at Tennessee, at Alabama. Those are not fun atmospheres to play at. Like listen, the State Fair is cool. It's awesome. It's not the most intimidating atmosphere. It's 50-50. It's more neutral, obviously. But having to go to those three teams, you know, Texas is the best team on your schedule, period, which is going to be tough. And then having to go at for some of the better teams. Like the only team you host that's really good is LSU. All your other hard games are on the road. And, you know,
at least get a bye before they play Alabama. They at least get a bye there.
Yeah, the bye before Kent State would piss me off. I'm like, give me the bye before Texas, please. Like, I don't need a bye. I don't need a bye before the Golden Flashers. Like, flashes. I don't need that. Like, I'm good. But
I'm glad that you knew that, by the way.
Yeah, that's a tough. That's a tough. And listen, let's be honest. They got screwed. Whether you like it or not, they got screwed coming in the SEC. Texas's schedule is laughable last year. And they got the worst schedule ever. So, like, I mean,
especially when it's back to back like it is.
It stinks. It's not necessarily their fault, but the schedule is. But you join the conference. I mean, you join the hardest conference that you can join. So that's part of it. But I'm going to read you. I want to read you Texas'
By the way,
schedule.
Their softball team is still awesome.
Girls softball.
Yes, at Oklahoma. I mean,
just stupid. So here's Texas's schedule, who joins the SEC at the same time. 2025. No, it's 2024.
I mean, it's the same regardless. It's just flipped home and away. But you've got – I can remember
– at Ohio State. Obviously, at a conference is tough. UTEP, yeah. Sam Houston. That's the ones they control. Their SEC schedule is Florida. Yes, you want Florida. Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State.
Georgia.
Like – Arkansas, A&M. Yes, you play Georgia. I mean, obviously that's tough, but like the difference in that and the other is insane.
That's no comparison.
That's not like there's Texas would not have made the playoff last year with Oklahoma's schedule. They wouldn't have. Like they would not have. And so, I mean, it's just unfortunate that they got the draw that they got. Venables obviously squarely on the hot seat. This is going to be a tough year. I mean, I think again, Brent, if the team's very competitive and you take that next step, defense is good. Yes. Now the offense goes to the next level. You're competing in all these games. They're not blowouts like last year. You got beat by 20 plus three times. You know, you got beat by 30 once in the SEC. That's not good enough. And that would be a situation where you say everybody's going to go, okay, we got to make a change.
And in that schedule, you go 9-3 and you beat Texas. Like you feel great. Like, I think you feel really good about the direction of the program. Because
a lot of Oklahoma fans is like, just beat Texas, please.
Just beat Texas.
You can lose the other ones. Just beat Texas.
Just beat Texas. Speaking of the schedule, and one of the teams we mentioned, last thing I wanted to bring up, just because it was curious or it was different and shocking to me. It's not related to anything college football. Well, sort of. Did you see who was invited to the draft and who accepted the invite to the draft?
Oh, no, I didn't see this. These are always interesting to me.
There was one name that to me stood out, well, really two, but Jackson Dart and Jalen Milroe are both going to the draft. And the Milroe one was the just, okay, out of nowhere, he was invited, he accepted. Because you're going and showing up, do you feel like you're going round one?
Well, and there's more that goes into it because I went to New York before the draft and you go and you meet everybody and it's kind of cool and you do all the – like it's kind of cool to be around all the guys and then you do all the TV stuff and it's a fun deal. Now, I chose to leave for the draft purposes because I wanted to be with my family. I didn't want to be in New York. But a lot of these good folks, are you willing to stand? Like because Milroe's not getting drafted in the first round. Like it's not happening. Jackson Dart's going to be interesting to see if he can enter that conversation and be that next guy in the class. But I think it's just
think Milroe is definitively not a first round pick.
No, I don't. And he's got the other traits that can or somebody will take a chance on him. That 40 was stupid, and his playmaking is stupid. But throwing the football, he's got a lot to work on. Obviously, good character and stuff, but he's not getting drafted in the first round. No, absolutely not. So that
I was curious to get your reaction to that, because when I saw that and his name on there, I was like, "Oh, is there a promise that the
suit will be fresh though?" The experience. Well,
when we were in Vegas for the draft, N'Kobe was there, and had one of the all-time suits. And then the whole injury thing comes out, and he falls like crazy. And he's, you know, that was hard to see.
Unfortunate. That was unfortunate. That was bad. Like, and again, Aaron Rodgers. Those are the moments that stick out. And being that guy, do you want to be that guy? That's the hard part. I think you go back and forth with.
Well, we will have a lot of time next week to talk about Portal if there's any more interesting developments there, because today, by the way, at least so far, more than 1,000 players entered the portal today. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. There should only be one. I have other thoughts on that. We'll get into that.
We'll get another time.
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, there'll be plenty more in the offseason to talk about. We got spring games around the corner. So there's plenty of things with college football, but shoot, the season ain't that far away, homie. Like it's
135 days or something like that.
Yeah, we're getting towards the end of the season, and now we'll get to the time where everybody likes, you know, you can go enjoy your summer, but you know, it smells like it. It tastes like it. Like football's around the corner, which is always good. So, all right, Brent Rollins, thank you, sir. We'll continue to be here, guys. Y'all just keep tuning in, and we appreciate all y'all. Thank you very much.
Peace.